Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 40 of Ninjas and Super Spies. This page is given over to espionage skills. There are a number of these. There are no other categories in this page. There are just a ton of different espionage skills. And the apportionment of those skills to things you would do as a spy, as an espionage practitioner, is, once again, we keep coming back to this word, pretty idiosyncratic. For example, notoriously, the Palladium system doesn't have any kind of overall skill or attribute covering perception, which is pretty glaring in the other Palladium games, but especially so in a game about espionage, right? Intelligence gathering is a primary function of many of the characters that you would play in this game. And so the fact that there's like nothing to roll to see if you notice a thing in a room, or nothing to roll to like quickly put together a reconstruction of events when you're at a crime scene, nothing to roll really to see if you notice a ninja sneaking up behind you with his swords waving at his sides, you know, crab walking in a sinister manner behind you, like the illustration on the last page. There are some other glaring blanks here as well. For example, there's no overall like all-purpose deception skill. On this page, we have the impersonation skill, which is good for pretending to be a certain kind of soldier or operative, or posing as a specific person. And there's also a chance of discovery percentage for like various cover identities you can have, but there's no skill for lying to someone, which is something you would do an awful lot of in this game. There's also not really a skill basis for like knowing about politics. These are things that an operative would need to know, and they're just left completely out of this extremely detailed skill system. So when you think about all those things that are missing, and then you look at the sheer number of skills in this game, you begin to ask, like, well, what is this? Like, what is filling up all this space? And the answer is redundant, mutually exclusive systems for hiding small objects on your person. That is what we're going to find on this page. This page has no fewer than three skills that can all be used to do that in different ways. If you need to start a coup or bust a crime ring or spot a tail in a busy street, this skill system has nothing for you. But if you need to conceal a pack of playing cards on your person, a cornucopia of options lay before you. So the first of them is the concealment skill. It actually starts on page 39, although it continues into page 40. And this is the ability to hide something in your hand or on your body, usually by moving it around from hand to hand or whatever. This only applies to objects no larger than 14 inches in height and length, 6 inches in width, and that weigh 10 pounds or less. And the smaller the object is, the easier it is to conceal. A penalty of 5% applies to any item over 7 inches. Absolutely can't be used with items larger than 14 inches on a side. So this is like, this is Greyhound bus check-in rules. If it's larger than 14 inches in any one dimension, then it is disqualified. It cannot be concealed on your body. This skill is 20% plus 5% per level of experience, and it can't be taken as a secondary skill. So if you're looking to set up a three-card money game, just work hard in school and hope to get scouted by the NSA, because that's where you're going to get these vital espionage skills. Or you could attempt one of the other skills that does a very similar thing. For example, the escape artist skill. You know the methods, principles, and tricks of escape artists by tensing and relaxing muscles, flexing and popping joints. You can try to slip out of handcuffs, straitjackets, etc. Includes knowledge of knots. And the ability to conceal small objects on the person. So here we have escape artist. You can take escape artist as a secondary skill. It doesn't have a 14-inch restriction on it, and it's 30 plus 5% per level of experience. However, if you take it as a secondary skill, then you're minus 10 to that, which puts you back at the same proficiency level as concealment. So okay, we've got one skill for hiding things on your person that requires you to go to spy school, and you've got a 25% chance of getting it right at first level, but you can't use it on objects over 14 inches on a side. Then you've got another skill that lets you break out of like ropes, handcuffs, and straitjackets, and incidentally allows you to conceal objects of any size on your body. that works better, and you can take it as a secondary skill, which means you can be self-taught. Obviously, one of these skills is strictly better than the other. So we've got one that's shitty and you probably can't take, and another one that's good and you can take. But that's not enough. We need a third skill. There's also a palming skill. And this skill muddies the waters by phrasing things a little bit differently. It's like those horrible feats that used to get released for D&D 3.5, if you're familiar with that system. Back in the bad old days where feats ruled the land, they strode across the gaming landscape like giants. And what would happen is you would have a character having fun, having adventures, doing what people do. You know, by which I mean breaking into dungeons, killing monsters, taking their stuff. And in the course of that, you got to climb some walls, right? You got to smooth talk some nymphs. You have to fix your equipment sometimes when it breaks. And then somebody would release a feat that says, hey, you can fix your shit if it breaks. Therefore implying that if you don't have the feat, you can't do it, and ruining everyone's fun. That's what the palming skill does. And I quote, simply, the ability to pick up and seemingly make a small object, such as a coin, key, playing card, knife, etc., disappear by hiding or concealing it in one's hand. So, okay, now we've got a skill that specifically allows us to seemingly make an object vanish, not just hide it on our person. So I guess what this means is I can't actually use concealment to hide a deck of playing cards on my person from their position on the table. It's that if I have them and you don't know I have them, then I can keep them hidden with concealment. Whereas I would need palming to take them from a visible position to concealment, at which point I could keep them hidden on my body with palming, or do I need to switch to concealment? And in any case, Escape Artist doesn't really specify. So does it do both, or does it only do what concealment does? And if this game only had a palming skill, then I would assume that if I get to, you know, do the coin trick where I, you know, make the coin disappear and then I'm going to like pull it out from behind your ear, I gotta be able to hide it in the interim. But because we've got two different skills for it, am I gonna end up with an asshole GM who, you know, I make the coin disappear, and then he's like, okay, fine. But what about your concealment roll? Make your concealment roll. And now if I didn't take concealment, then I'm standing there looking like an asshole, making a coin disappear, and then it just drops on the floor. Like, I forgot to take all three interlocking hide a coin on your body skills. And now I can't do shitty magic tricks like a good uncle. My niece is going to be pissed. Now, I want to point out, we're so close to these all being identical, so this doesn't even matter. But we're not quite there mathematically. There's one basic thing I want to do. All I want to do is hide, like, the Ace of Spades up my sleeve. That's it. I just want to be a cool gambler guy. And this obviously is the game for that, right? I mean, you're playing Ninjas and Super Spies because you want to be a slick dude who has invincible kung fu or whatever, who's leads a rich and glamorous life, who has gunfights and gets into sexy escapades, probably in a lot of casinos. And so sometimes I want to be able to hide the Ace of Spades and then produce it later and cheat to win. And nobody can pin it on me. And then I just give them this shit-eating grin. And then I go seduce their wife, probably. It's not too much to ask, but page 40 of this book has a full page to express to me how I'm supposed to hide that Ace of Spades, and what it succeeds in doing over that space is describing three skills that I may or may not have to take, and leaving me completely unclear on what each of them does. Meanwhile, if I want to identify diplomatic back channels between Israel and Britain, say, I guess I gotta just flip a fucking coin, because that would be too trivial a matter to address in the sprawling skill system of Ninjas and Super Spies. The fact that there are three different ways you can learn to run three-card Monty, and the most effective of them is to get formal training in escaping straitjackets, is the dumbest thing on this page. Join me next time for page 41 of Ninjas and Super Spies on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.